Minister Kubai, you are leading the South African delegation here at the World Economic Forum. It's been a whirlwind couple of days. You've had time on the global stage. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling very optimistic, quite a lot of insights, having to clear South Africa's position and where we stand on a number of issues, and to see quite a number of South African business people who are very active. I've had interactions with them, met with them individually, and as well within the corridors, giving me feedback of positive message. It's good to be back in Davos after 2 years.
Do you think that South Africa is being positively received?
It is positively received. Though there was a bit concerns around our stance on the Russia-Ukraine conflict, obviously some of the issues, not only about South Africa, but the continent. So I had two or three meetings where this matter came up and there was no understanding why the African continent, majority of the countries, abstained. And I think the congressman who's the chairman of the international relations in US explained it very well, to say he went around to ask the African countries, the ambassadors in UN, why they abstained, and said, no one has engaged us. You have forgotten that we exist, and you just can't automatically expect us to participate in something that we don't know. And I thought that was classic, that it's starting to dawn that if we are to work together, we must be equal partners, and we must also look at all our interests and say, is this best for everybody else, including the continent? So that was quite a good feedback to hear, and the commitment to continue to engage the continent, to engage leaders, and also make sure that whatever is being done is also in the interest of Africa.
You were very strong on the climate transition debate in emerging markets yesterday. We've received many compliments on the narrative that you put out there from a South African perspective. Do you think that as an emerging market, we are going to see that climate finance support from the developed world? Is it going to become a reality? Because we know the numbers are huge. We're looking at a 590% increase in annual climate finance to emerging developing markets in order to achieve the 2030 agenda from a climate perspective.
Look, we're hoping so. We hope we don't have the same problem we've seen with many other agreements. I mean, you go back to COP, what is it, the first summit, 2016. Yeah, COP 26, we had this commitment that we still like really trying to find, you know, go through the fine comb. What does it mean? How is it? And it shouldn't be. So everybody is saying, let's be transparent about the funds. There shouldn't be a burden to the continent and emerging markets. They should be to assist. And you talk to many businesses, they say, no, if this is about loans, for example, in South Africa, between ourselves as government and private sector, we can fundraise enough to be able to, because we have conducive environment for investment. We've seen quite a lot of investment in terms of South Africa in the panel that you're reflecting. One of the investors was there who invested in an energy plant in the Northern Cape that is doing so well. And looking at ensuring that we fast track the transmission lines so that that can come into the grid as they finish. So it's quite a lot that we have to pay attention to, but we are saying to global communities, especially developed countries, let's not pay lip service to what we commit to.
Minister Kubai, you've been on the ground in KZN, and this must be an enormous effort from your portfolio as Human Settlements. We're seeing firsthand the impact of climate change. Can you give me a sense of how you're feeling about what you have negotiated through, given the scenarios that have unfolded in KwaZulu-Natal?
Look, that's why I said to them, the globe exit, you know, takes out emissions. We bear the brunt of that. It's not only just destruction of properties, but destruction of our economy. I mean, Transnet had to issue a statement yesterday where the port was not functioning for some time. It affects the export market, import market. It affects not only South Africa, it affects the region. because what we get into the Durban ports goes to SADC region, goes to better part of the continent. Now, movement of those goods when it's not happening, it affects our economy, it affects the value chain. There's issues of food security. So climate change is a reality. It impacts on us, but we're having to pay a heavy price as developing countries in terms of resources. I mean, you saying human settlements. I look at my budget right now. We're having huge amount of money that we have to spend. The last time with the last, before this weekend's disaster, we were estimating almost around 1.6 billion that we have to put in to respond to the disaster. Now, we're taking from the normal service delivery money now to be able to respond to the disaster so that Treasury later can give us the money to do. Now we have a new disaster this weekend. We're quantifying the damage. Now you can see we're going into more than 2 billion already just to respond. As human settlement, I've not counted a Minister of Transport with the roads that have been destroyed, the bridges. We've not calculated what Minister Mutunu, who is for water and sanitation, the damages. We've not calculated the schools that have been destroyed. We've not calculated the clinics, the hospitals. Now you look, we're going into billions of rands that the country has to put to respond to this. And this is just not the other disaster. It's we've had many in the other provinces. We still had Northwest, we had Eastern Cape, almost I had 3,000 households that were affected. Now the whole landscaping, how we do development has to change. It's more costs.
Minister Kubai, thank you so much for your time. Minister of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation in South Africa, the lead for the South African delegation here at WEF Davos 22.